Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by Dan McGowan from WPRI.com. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Ian.
Brandon, we're coming up on 2018. The next governor's race is going to be here before we know it. Who are the potential Republican candidates?
Well, you know, right now we're focused on 16, focused on the legislative races. I think that once we get by this next election cycle, we'll be looking pretty hard.
If I'm you, I would have to be thinking about this really hard right now and talking to people. Do you have any potential candidates?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have been talking to people. I'm not going to share that, of course. But by the same token, yeah. I mean, look, we have one of the lowest rated governors in the entire country, only second to Malloy in Connecticut in terms of Democrats. She's polling, the last time I think I saw, was the high 30s or low 40s, whereas our neighbor in Charlie Baker is polling in the mid 70s. So we're absolutely looking at that at this point in time.
Before we go to Dan, is Alan Fung your best choice for governor in 2018 right now?
Right now, we need to get Mayor Fung reelected in Cranston, and then we'll move from there. I mean, the other reason I wouldn't answer that question as far as best prospect or worst prospect is because of the fact that, that's really up to him as to whether or not he's going to go statewide.
Let's go to Dan.
The hottest race in the 2016 local election cycle is obviously that District 15, where the speaker is going to take on the winner of Steve Frias and Shauna Lawton. Have you sat down with Shauna Lawton to try to convince her to get out of the race? And do you consider a primary a distraction for the Republicans?
I have sat down with her. I consider it a little bit of a distraction. In some respects, it's grown on me a little bit as a good opportunity to get Steve's name out there. I believe that Steve Frias is by far the most legitimate candidate. He's a blue chip candidate. I think that's absolutely what he is. He's legitimate. He's got resources. He's going to work his tail off to win that race. And we need our very best to run against the Speaker of the House.
We saw that in 2014 or 2012 when Gordon Fox, the former Speaker, had an opponent. He spent upwards of $100,000 in order to win re-election. How much is this race going to cost on the Republican side?
Steve's been very public about the fact that he's loaned himself $25,000 initially. I think we'll get some statewide appeal for fundraising, maybe even some little bit of national appeal, possibly. I don't know exactly how much it'll cost, maybe $35,000, $40,000, maybe a little bit more. But there's only so much money you need for a rep district. I'm so tired of hearing people say, look, he's got $300,000. You can't beat him. What are you going to do? Send 5 mailers a day? You can't saturate the market with all this stuff. It's about door knocking, retail politics, and an organization, which Steve already has.
Do you hold State Representative Patricia Morgan responsible for Shauna Lawton's entry in that race?
I don't hold her responsible. There was a rift. Without a doubt, Patricia took Shauna Lawton under her wing. Patricia stands on principle, saw a good candidate in Shauna Lawton, and you'd have to ask her as far as whether or not that was a good or a bad choice. Right now, I'm focusing on unity, and I believe that this will be a clean election. It's a shame that Ms. Lawton won't debate Steve Frias, because I think that's part of the process. But by the same token, I don't hold her responsible. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I've got to move forward. I'm the party chairman, and it's my job to certainly speak ill of any other Republicans.
Well, I'll give you another opportunity. Patricia Morgan has made no secret of her desire to oust Brian Newberry as the minority leader in the House. She's solicited a number of candidates to run this year. Do you think her actions are more helpful or hurtful to the Republican Party?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of that method. I think Leader Newberry has done a phenomenal job. He tries really hard to keep everyone playing nicely in the sandbox. It's a tough job to be the minority leader of such a small opposition, and you got to keep people together. And I'm not a fan that she came out, and I think it was excellent reporting on your part that she actually admitted to you that she was there to overthrow and have this fiefdom of people to become the minority leader. I think she should keep that thought to herself and wait until she has to worry about her own election. Don't forget, she's got a tough election herself, and her whole thing about recruiting independents and other people, she has an independent that can actually beat her in this race. So she's got to worry about her own race at this point.
Republicans haven't had a lot of success in the inner cities, whether it's from Providence, Pawtucket, Central Falls. You know, in Providence, it's been more than two decades since a Republican's been elected there. Why do you think Republicans have struggled in all of the urban different cities in Rhode Island.
We need to get out there and define ourselves. People can't be looking at Republican as a bad word. That's part of my job, messaging. We need to go to places that we've never gone before, that we have not been so comfortable in going before. And we're doing that now. We're doing a lot of door knocking. We have some really quality people running in the city of Providence for legislative seats. And I'm excited about our prospects there. I'm excited about our prospects also because there's no master lever this year. The elimination of the master lever should help us, I would hope.
So have Democrats just done a better job of painting Republicans as too conservative in those communities?
They've just painted it as Republican as a bad word in those communities. And I, for the life of me, I can't understand why people would want 80 more years of what's been happening. I feel as though in the inner city, it's not always about the R's versus the D's. People should look at the candidate. And I believe we have some really quality people and people that have been there since 1992. It's time for them to go.
You mentioned the elimination of the master lever that was supported by House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. He's also supported giving voters a chance to strengthen the Ethics Commission. We've seen a number of tax cuts on his watch. So have Democrats given themselves enough material to inoculate themselves against Republican attacks?
Well, I mean, clearly the goal was in February to pass the tolls and hope that enough time passed and a good budget passes and these things happen so the voters have shorter memories. Clearly that didn't happen. Ray Gallison, when he stepped down in disgrace, for whatever the heck it was. So we don't even know at this point in time. But it hasn't worked very well. Nick Mattiello is not exactly the reformer. In fact, the only time, this is scandal-based legislation. We were one scandal away from the line item veto, apparently. So give it another month and we probably would have had the line item veto.
Switching gears slightly, you're about to head off to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Donald Trump does not stick to the script, as we know. Are you concerned that this could turn into a frittata that will hurt Republican chances in November and hurt Republicans down ballot?
I think it's going to be a very interesting convention. I think that it'll be exciting. There's going to be a lot of surprises. I don't think it's going to be one big kerfuffle. By the same token, let's hope that, you know, when he leaves that convention, that there's party unity, because that's really all that we can hope for. But again, you know, we're in Rhode Island and I'm focused on the State House, not so much on the White House, although I do care about who's in the White House and I don't want it to be Hillary Clinton.
Well, and aside from the very top of the ticket, who would you like to see be Donald Trump's running mate?
You know, there's so many people that I would love to have seen that I already know have eliminated themselves from consideration, such as Marco Rubio. I think John Kasich would be great in terms of geography and also in terms of his experience. So it's hard to say. You know, Joni Ernst, some of the ones that were still in the last few days anyway, are in contention. I think it'll be very interesting to see who he ends up picking. And I think that's all the ever more important this year because we have a populist candidate versus somebody who has political experience.
Back on the local level, and we're almost out of time here, but we know it's very difficult to get people to run for the legislature. Are there any steps that you would support? Do you think it would make sense to advocate for higher salaries for lawmakers to encourage more people to run for office?
I don't know that it's the salaries as to why people step up. I have a number of candidates this year that stepped up because they've just had enough. They're tired. They've had enough. They're ready to step up. I give them all the credit in the world for having the courage, for having the dedication. As I've said before, John Pagliarini started our year off really well for the Republican Party in 2016 by an upset election in Senate 11. And John Pagliarini has proven he's a principled conservative. He's done very well up at the State House. He's annoyed the heck out of the leadership in the Senate, and he does it respectfully. And I think with great priorities and fiscally conservative and things that we look for in candidates. So I wish I can clone him. And there are quite a few people that are running that I'm really, really excited about. I don't think the salary is the issue. It's the issue of the people that are not running. I feel as though the people that we had that were going to run that maybe are not running now just don't want to be associated with scum. And there's a lot of scum up there.
All right. On that note, thanks for joining us. Digital reporter from WPRI.com, Dan McGowan.
Thank you.
And State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell.
Thank you for having me again.